thankful that Sister Hardaway is back helping out over there a little bit. She said, amen. What a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord and to serve the Lord. We thank the Lord for our ushers, our Richardson family plus one. The Richardsons plus one. So thank the Richardson family and Sister Sherry as well. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you tonight. We thank you this morning / this afternoon, dear God, for the privilege, the great, wonderful, marvelous opportunity to come before you, dear God, to come into your house. As Pastor Waller prayed earlier, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So what a blessing it is, dear God, to come and to exalt your name, to sing praises to you, to read from your word, dear God, and to fellowship with the saints and to hear a preached word from you, dear Lord. So Father, even now, as we open up the Holy Writ, we open up the word of God, your word, that my prayer is that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. And I pray, dear God, also that as your word goes forward, that it will fall on fertile soil, good ground, dear God, that it would bring forth fruit 30 and 60 and 100 fold, dear God, that all of us will leave here today more in love with Jesus Christ than when we first came. We will leave here today more surrendered and submitted to him as Lord of our life. Thank you for this season, this Christmas season, even this week, as we go through this week, as we encounter various people, there will be more doors open, more opportunities to share the true meaning of Christmas, the great gospel message. So Father, fill us with your spirit and empower all of us to be great witnesses this week as we go forward toward Christmas next Sunday. We thank you, dear God, and we praise you. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Going to ask you to stand if you can stand, and let me just say this. I know you all know this. None of you have asked me this, but we will be having church next Sunday, just in case. And I know some of you or many of you are actually going to be traveling and going out of town and things. We understand that, but it just boggles my mind, Pastor Waller. Don't let me hear the Marble Top canceled service on Christmas. I mean, I don't quite get that. Why some churches. Each to his own, I guess, but Christmas is about Jesus Christ. So of all the days that you should come out to the house of the Lord, it should be on Christmas Day. And it's on Sunday this year. Every 7 years is on Sunday. But we will be having church next Sunday. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. This particular portion of scripture may not be quite as familiar as some of the other Christmas type passages, or maybe it is to you, but this is a great passage of scripture. And as we go through this, the Lord will give you some insights, some nuggets in your life. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. I'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Luke chapter 1. Verses 26 through 38. The word of God reads as follows. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Let me read that again. Now, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. I'm going to preach this morning from this thought. Jesus Christ is unique. Jesus Christ is unique. You may be seated. Jesus Christ is unique. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is unique. Jesus is unique. You know, we're 1 week away from the day that we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this morning, I just wanted to remind us that Jesus Christ is unique. The word unique, used as an adjective, can be defined as having no like or equal. Unique can be defined as meaning, Brother Rucker, unparalleled. Unique, as an adjective, means existing as the only one or the sole example. Unique means without alternative possibilities, not typical, unusual. As a noun, the word unique means the only specimen of a given kind, the embodiment of unique characteristics, simply put, one of a kind. So this morning, as I preach about the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ, you got to remember that means that he is unparalleled. That means that he has no equal. That means that he's the only one of a particular kind. That means that he is not typical. That means that he is unparalleled. I remember Aaron Lutzer wrote a book a while back called Jesus Christ Among Other Gods. Jesus is far above any other person or so-called deity or God. He is unique. He's unparalleled. He's unique. You know, there are a lot of unique things, or at least things that we kind of characterize as being unique as we live. I remember last year, I like college football, and I was watching Baylor University in Waco, Texas, and they had a guy that weighed like 460 pounds, but yet he was pretty fast. And that was kind of unique. I remember growing up, I was a wrestling fan. I was a wrestling fan, and you could not tell me that wrestling was fake. Somebody already saying, it is fake, it's fake. Yeah, it's fake. It's fixed. But I was a big wrestling fan. And growing up, I remember Andre the Giant. Anybody remember Andre the Giant? He was a big old dude. He was about 7'4" or 5' tall, weighed about 400 pounds. He was a unique individual. He was a big old guy. There are all types of unique things. Our God, our great creator, he's given us some unique things to admire and observe. Things like the moon and the sun and the stars. Just this past week, the moon had this, like some kind of ring was around the moon. And that was very unique looking. And if you remember, I think it was last month, when we was up in Sevierville, Pastor Wall and I at the state convention. That was during a time where the first time in about 30-something years, I think the moon looked big. That was unique. That was unique. So there are quite a few unique things, unique people, places, and things, but none like Jesus. Nobody or no thing has the uniqueness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who we're about to celebrate his birthday, if you will. Remember from last week, Isaiah 9:6, we've learned, if we didn't know it before, we learned that Jesus is all God, yet all man. That's unique. All God, yet all man. We found out last week from Isaiah 9:6, he is ruler. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Just last week, Isaiah 9:6, we saw that he is wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting father. And he is the Prince of Peace. That's unique. Nobody else can embody all those things but our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is unique. So this morning, let's look and see what the Holy Spirit has to tell us through Dr. Luke, the Gospel of Luke here about the uniqueness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 26, it says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now Gabriel was a messenger angel and he was sent by God. That means that everything that he says should be listened to attentively and obeyed. Because Gabriel is not speaking on his own initiative. He's speaking on behalf of God. He's speaking on behalf of God. And beloved, you and I, as we share with others, be it Christian or non-Christian, when we speak what's in thus said the Lord, we're speaking authoritatively. We're not bringing our opinions, our thoughts. We're bringing the word of God. So when you and I speak and say what thus said the Lord, we speak authoritatively. This is the word of God. So when Gabriel appeared to Mary, he wasn't just coming with his own little thought. He is a messenger from God and he's speaking to her authoritatively. Matter of fact, shortly before he appeared to Mary, he had appeared to Zacharias and told him that Elizabeth, who's in the text, that Elizabeth, who was barren and who was old, Gabriel had told Zacharias that you and Elizabeth are going to have a child. And guess what? They end up having a child by the name of John, and we call him John the Baptist. So in verse 26, this angel Gabriel comes and speaks to Mary. So picture this. An angel shows up speaking to Mary. And in verse 27, the text shows us that Mary, she's a virgin. And also she is betrothed to Joseph. She is sort of like our engagement, but really a little more serious than that. But she is getting ready to marry Joseph, but she is a virgin. Remember that. She is a virgin. So in verses 28 and 29, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one." Listen to this. "The Lord is with you." Oh, that ought to be some comforting and rejoicing type of words, that the Lord is with you. "Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting was this. So here it is, Mary, this angel Gabriel is talking to her and said, "The Lord is with you." You might want to write that down. The Lord is with you. Because this morning, if you're the redeemed of God, if you're saved, if you're born again, you can say, "The Lord is with me." Let me say that again. You can say, "The Lord is with me." This angel said, "The Lord is with you." But Mary was kind of confused. She was kind of perplexed. She didn't quite understand what was going on, even though the angel just said, "The Lord is with you." So the angel had to further clarify his message in verse 30. He goes on and he says, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God." If you're taking notes, you want to jot this down this morning. It's a blessed thing to find favor with God. It's a blessed thing to find favor with the God of the universe. In verse 28, the angel told Mary once again, "You are highly favored and the Lord is with you." Today, saints, once again, if you're saved, if you're born again, you found favor with God. Saving favor with God. Matter of fact, if you are a child of God, you are highly favored and the Lord is with you. See, it's a good thing to know that God is with us. This favor of God. Listen to this. All of us in here this morning, every one of us in here this morning, all of us in here this morning have received some type of favor from God. If you're born again, you receive the saving favor of God. You're a Christian now. Hell is canceled. Heaven is guaranteed. You are the redeemed of God. That's favor. I said, that's favor. I'm glad I don't have to go to hell. I'm glad I deserved it, but I'm glad that I have received the saving favor of God and I'm not going to hell. I thank God for his saving favor. He created you and me. That's favor. He's been faithful to provide for us all of these years. That's favor. Check this out. He got us here this morning on these slick highways. That's favor. He's given us reasonable health and strength. That's favor. That's favor. He's blessed us with family, friends, and even a church home. That's favor. God has brought you and me through 11 months and 18 days of 2016. That's favor. Just this past week, I mean, you know, funerals, just people, you know, names, you know, even if you don't know personally, people even from this community, like Bishop Hunter right down the street, you know, he passed and had his funeral, and Gerald Benton, many of y'all might know him, he's seen a lot of different things, he worked for Taylor Funeral Home. I mean, just I can go on and on down the list, and I thank God for heaven. I'm going to be there throughout all eternity, so I don't want necessarily rush getting there, so it's a blessing to still be in the land of the living. It's a blessing to still be in the land of the living. That's favor. That's favor. So God's favor also, he tells us, verse 30, that you and I do not have to be fearful. He told Mary, fear not. Fear not. You know, Mary, she shows us, she's a great example. She shows us that striving to live holy, striving to do what the Lord would have you to do, there are many benefits to striving to live to be holy. I mean, Mary, right in this text here, she's highly favored, the Lord is with her, she doesn't have to be fearful. I mean, there are a lot of benefits to pursuing godliness. There are a lot of benefits in striving to do it God's way. And so Mary, she shows us that from the text, that it's great benefit in doing it God's way. Brother Job, he would tell us there's great benefits in doing it the Lord's way. Brother Moses would tell us there's great benefits in doing it the Lord's way. Some of us ought to be able to testify. It's great benefit in striving to do it God's way. Striving to do it the Lord's way. Well, in verses 31 through 33, as we're going to give you extrapolate a few things out of those three verses to show you about the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. Verses 31 through 33. Listen to these verses 31 through 33. Behold, the angel says to Mary, you will, listen to these unique things. You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Listen, he will be great. That's unique. And he will be called the Son of the Highest. That's unique. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. That's unique. And he will reign over the house of Jacob. How long, saints? Forever. That's unique. And of the kingdom, there will be no end. There's a lot of unique things in those three verses. Let me just amplify a few of those. First of all, Jesus is called Son, S-O-N. And that's no ordinary, Brother Tommy. That's no ordinary son. And then he's called Jesus. The name Jesus itself means Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah is the Savior. That's literally what Jesus means. Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah is the Savior. So Jesus is unique. He is great. You want to just write that down. He is great. Jesus is great. He is great. And he will reign forever and his kingdom will have no end. That's unique. His kingdom, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, will have no end. He will reign forever. So that's unique. That's unique. His reign will be forever. So that means that Jesus himself has to be eternal. He has no beginning and he will have no ending. If his kingdom is going to last forever and he's going to reign forever, that means, of course, that means he's going to live forever. Jesus is unique. He's going to live forever. He's the S-O-N, but he holds the S-U-N in his hands. That's unique. He can't be compared to anyone else who has walked on planet Earth. He's unique. He's unique. His kingdom will have no end. Now, see, that's different. All of the previous kingdoms, every single one of them have had boundaries. They even went so far, you know, physically, or they only lasted so many years. All other kingdoms, every one of them, going all the way back to the Egyptian kingdom, guess what? It was powerful for a while, but then it fell. And then you can come on up from there and go to the Persian and the Babylonian Empire. They were great and kind of like the rulers of the earth for a while, Brother Chris, but then it failed. And then you can come on up from there and go to the Russian, I mean not the Russian, but go to the Roman Empire. And they were powerful for a while, but eventually they failed. No kingdom historically has ever reigned forever. You can come on up to the 20th century. You can come on up to places like England and Great Britain and Japan and Germany and Russia. They were all strong for a while. Even the good old USA. United States of America. We strong. We're getting a little weaker, but guess what? Guess what? I hate to burst your bubble, but the United States is not going to last forever. It's not going to last forever. Matter of fact, I'm not a great expert on what we call eschatology, end time things in the Bible, but as I read and study and as people who really focus on that, the United States, when Jesus comes back, it won't really be the United States as it is today. It seems like it's going to be kind of blended in with maybe, you know, England and some of those places. So the United States, we kind of on the downslide. We kind of on the downslide. But Jesus' kingdom, but the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it will and it is going to last forever. So it's good to be an American, but you want to make sure you're in Jesus' kingdom. You want to make sure you're in his kingdom because it lasts forever. His kingdom will have no end. That's unique. That's unique. So as she talks to Gabriel, and as Gabriel tells her all this, keep in mind, I think sometimes we're so familiar with some of these basic biblical truths, they kind of lose the punch sometimes, but she is a virgin. And this angel is telling her, you're going to have a baby, but she's a virgin. Are y'all with me this morning? The rain not putting you to sleep. Are y'all with me this morning? So Mary is hearing all this, and she's a godly woman. She loves the Lord. But she's just listening. And says, this messenger of God is telling me I'm going to have a baby. I need to inform him of something. In verse 34, Mary says to the angel, Brother Gabriel, how can this be since I do not know a man? This word know here speaks to intimacy. But she's basically saying, how can I have a baby and I'm still a virgin? How can I have a baby and I've never had sex? I can hear Mary thinking, Gabriel, your theology might be tight and right. Your theology is tight and right, but your biology is a little off. I don't know how y'all do stuff in heaven, but here on planet Earth, before you can have a baby, something has to happen before you have a baby. So Gabriel, I'm not doubting your theology, but your biology, something is a little wrong. I'm a virgin, Mary says. Here's a good side note as I look around and see all of us, but any all of our people, young or old, all our single people, younger or older, God has a perfect plan for our lives. So this is in the text, so just let me preach this. I can't just skip over it. Let me just preach this. It's okay to be a virgin. Brother Nikion, it's okay to be a virgin. Any of our other young people, it's okay to be a virgin. Brother Marcus, it's okay to be a virgin. Matter of fact, that's the biblical way to do things. I said that's a biblical way to do things. Let me say that one more time. That's the biblical way to do things. God's plan is always the greatest plan. I think we all will agree with that. So it's okay to wait until you get married to have sex. It's okay to wait. Matter of fact, that's God's way. It's okay to hold out. Now, I know what the culture says. I know what society says. I know what Hollywood says. I know what some of what your so-called friends might say. I know what Ray Ray might say. I know what Boom Quanisha might say. And really, I know even maybe what your own body and your own hormones are saying. But what does the Bible say? What does God say? God says, and he hasn't changed it. He hasn't amended it. He hasn't, relaxed it. God says to wait. He says sex is for married life. I often tell young people, it's not like God is trying to keep something from you. He's really trying to keep something for you. And hear me well, young people. Every older person I know, everybody I've talked to who has gotten married, they say, if I had to do over again, I would wait. So it's best to wait. I say it's best to wait. I said, it's best to wait. That's not my opinion. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. I'm just preaching the Bible. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. And some people say crazy. So like, well, you didn't wait. Or y'all didn't wait. And so, well, if somebody drives their truck off a cliff and then they have a terrible accident and then ICU and all may not live and might live. And they telling you, hey, don't drive your truck off a cliff. Don't be talking about, well, you drove it off the cliff. Let me drive it off the cliff. No, learn from other folks' mistakes. Learn from other folks' mistakes. So Mary say, "No, I'm practicing celibacy. I'm practicing abstinence. I'm a virgin." I'm a virgin. So then verse 35, an angel said to her, to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. I can hear Gabriel kind of saying, well, wait a minute, Sister Mary. We know you're a virgin. We know where you stand in this area of sex. We know you're a virgin. But the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead will come upon you and he will overpower you and you will become pregnant without even knowing a man. You will become pregnant without even having sex. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is unique. We call it the Immaculate Conception. He's in Mary's womb, yet he doesn't have a biological father. Let me say that again. He's in Mary's womb, but he doesn't have a biological father. Our Christ is unique. No one before him was born of a virgin, nor has anyone after him, nor will anybody else after him ever be born of a virgin. He is unique. He's the virgin-born Savior, Jesus the Christ. That's unique. That's unique. That's unique. So Gabriel says, hey Mary, we know your situation. We know what's going on. But you know, Matthew 1:23 tells us this. It says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Jesus, the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ, born of a virgin man. So even, beloved, as we go through this week, leading up to Christmas next Sunday, as you and I talk to people and talk to people about Christ, as we share with them the uniqueness of Christ, just let them know Jesus was born of a virgin. So now I don't totally understand it, but I just know the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and she was pregnant. But he has no earthly father. Joseph was just like his stepdad. He's born of a virgin Mary. He's unique. Right out of this verse also, as we talk about the uniqueness of Christ, we see in this verse 36, Gabriel letting Mary know he is the Holy One. He is the Holy One. If you're taking notes again, he is the Holy One. Jesus is the Holy One. He is the Son of God. And that's why, beloved, we share with others who are not Christians and they try to take away the deity of Christ, and we know he's all God yet all man. Phrases like the Son of God, people misinterpret that. They think, okay, Son of God, I mean, he's a little less than God, but really, if you study that out in the language, really, Son of God literally means he's equal with God. Son of God really means he's equal with God. He is God the Son. He's equal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. That's unique. Our Savior, our Lord, our King, he's equal with God. Not greater than God the Father, but he is equal with God the Father. He's God. He's the Son of God, equal with God. Even as we said last week, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, none of us can say that. As I said last week, I don't care how holy you are trying to live. I don't care how holy we are. I can't say, hey, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. No, we need to be Christ-like and godly, but I can't say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He is God the Son. That's unique. He is the Holy One of God. Equal with God. He is unique. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. That's unique. Most of us come to seek and do whatever we want to do, whatever we want to do at our time. But Jesus came to seek and to save those who were lost. That's unique. He was born of a Virgin Mary. That's unique. He came to and died for sinners like you and me. That's unique. Who else does that? Who else did that? That's unique. He died for me and you. That's unique. Born of a virgin. He can be your lawyer and your judge. That's unique. He's our high priest as well as our sacrifice. That's unique. I'm talking about Jesus. Check this out. He was being held by Mary. Even while being held by Mary, the baby Jesus, he was still holding Mary and the rest of us, the whole world, in his hands. That's unique. That's unique. He's able to feed 5,000, not counting women and children, with just 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. That's unique. He can walk on water and not even sink. That's unique. Ask Peter about that. Peter tried that. He did it for a second, but then he started going down. That's unique. That's unique. That's unique. He healed the sick. That's unique. He cleansed lepers. That's unique. He gave sight to the blind. That's unique. He enabled a cripple to walk. That's unique. Somebody said, I've read in the Bible where Peter did that. Yeah. Other men like Paul did that. But guess what? Guess what? They did it in the name of Jesus. They did it in the name and in the power of Jesus. Not in their own power. They didn't say, Peter said, or Paul said, walk. No, nothing would have happened. No, they did it in the name of Jesus. He's able to deliver you this morning from any stronghold that you may have. That's unique. Now I ought to be able to get a couple witnesses right here. Since you've been a Christian, since you've been saved, there have been some things in your life, some stuff in your life, might have been your tongue, might have been this, might have been that habit, that just had you bound. And he said, Lord, please deliver me from this particular thing, whatever this thing is. And Jesus Christ has come through and been faithful and delivered you from something. If you're saved, you're saved from something. He is unique. I mean, I tried all kind of stuff when I was young. Power, positive thinking. So if I just think enough on this, and all that stuff didn't work. I said, all that, you can throw all those books away. Start a bonfire. Burn all that mess up. That stuff don't work. But just go to Jesus. Just go to Jesus. And he can and he will deliver you and bring you through. Oh, I ought to have a witness right there. I got to stay there a little longer. He is unique. He's the only one to deliver me from some stuff I couldn't get myself out of, but Christ got me out of it. Jesus pulled me out of it. He is unique. My brother couldn't do it. My mama and daddy couldn't do it. My buddy down the street couldn't do it, but Jesus did it. He's unique. He is unique. Jesus is unique. He can deliver you. He will deliver you. He is a deliverer. He's able to do immeasurably more than you can ask or think. He is a unique God. He's a unique Savior. So Mary, just in case she was still maybe a little skeptical, the angel kind of goes on because he told her you're going to have a child without knowing a man. And Sister Mary, just in case you don't quite understand that, just in case you don't believe it, check out our track record. Verse 36 and 37, he said, now indeed, Elizabeth, you remember cousin Liz, Elizabeth, your relative, that older lady Liz, who has, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the 6th month, so she's showing by now, her stomach is getting on out there, by the 6th month for her, who was called barren. It's okay, Mary, if you haven't any problem with this, you might need to just go visit your cousin Elizabeth. You know, the one that the doctor said you can't have kids. You are barren. She's 6 months pregnant now. She's 6 months pregnant. And look what he says next. I love this. You ought to grab this application this morning. Gabriel said to Mary and to Love Fellowship this morning, Mary, you're going to be pregnant even though you're still a virgin? Your cousin Liz, she got pregnant even though the doctor said she couldn't have a child. She's barren. How did all that happen, Gabriel? How is that so? Verse 37 says, for with God, nothing would be impossible. I know I have some warriors right there. With God, hear me well, saints. With God, nothing would be impossible. All things are possible with God. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Nothing would be impossible with God. I mean, nothing would be impossible with God. Talking about the uniqueness of Christ. And God has a history of doing impossible things. This is just a couple of evidences this morning. A virgin having a child. Who does that? Who can do that? But nothing is impossible with God. Elizabeth, who was older lady, was barren, but yet she's pregnant. We know about Abraham and Sarah, same scenario. The doctor said, hey, y'all can't have any kids. Sarah, she's barren. She can't have kids. And Abraham, he has no strength. I often say, y'all work with that on the way home. Y'all work with that one on the way home. But can't have kids. Can't have kids. But yet, of course, they had kids. They had a child. They had a son. Our God has a history of doing impossible stuff. He has a history of parting Red Seas. He has a history of raining down food and manna from heaven. He has a history of making water come out of a rock. He has a history of doing those types of things. He has a history for delivering people out of a lion's den. He has a history of taking people out of a fiery furnace. He has a history of doing these types of things. He has a history of taking brothers like Enoch and Elijah to heaven, and these brothers didn't even die. He has a history of doing impossible things. He has a history of doing something like Hezekiah when he told Isaiah to go to Hezekiah and tell him, get your house in order. It's time for, we're getting ready to do your funeral. Get your house in order, Hezekiah. And Hezekiah said, man, I want to live longer. Let's pray. And they prayed to our God. And Hezekiah, his epitaph was basically already written out. And the Bible said when Isaiah left at the courtyard, before he even got out of the parking lot, the guy said, go back and tell Hezekiah, I added 15 more years, because I can do that. I'm God. I added 15 more years onto his life. We serve a God who does impossible things. Matter of fact, that's part of his DNA. He is God. And one time in the Bible, he made time stand still. I said he made time stand still. He can do that because he created time. He can do that. Another time in the Bible, check this out. He made time go back. Our God, he specializes in doing impossible things. Nothing is impossible with our God. All of us, if I took this mic and went around the congregation this morning, I'm sure all of us probably have a few impossible stories. So I was in this situation, I was in this fix, and I didn't know how I was going to get through this thing. I didn't know how I was going to make it, but I cried out to God. I cried out to my unique Savior, Jesus Christ, and somehow he got me out of that thing. Our God does impossible things. Nothing. That's what Gabriel said. That's what the word said. Nothing. So out of a Christian mind, we should be, well, we can't do that. That's impossible. Well, nothing is it's impossible maybe for me and you, but nothing is impossible with our God. Nothing is impossible with our God. He's done miraculous things. He has a history of doing the miraculous. He's done some marvelous things in your life and in my life. Our God is awesome. Our God is awesome. So to Gabriel and Mary, I know it seems impossible, but hey, with God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible. So just let that resonate in your heart and mind. Let that resonate in your spirit. That with God, all things are possible. Think about it. Once again, he's brought us all the way through 2016. Here we are right at the end of 2016. So some that started out on this journey are not here today. But by God's grace and God's mercy, he's brought us all the way up to this end. And then as we head toward 2017, our God is still faithful. He's still faithful to keep on watching over us. He's a faithful God. So even though it seems impossible with us or to us, all things are possible with God. It's possible God can take this church, Love Fellowship, and make a difference. In this community, in this culture, in this world, God can make a difference. Even I mentioned earlier, just yesterday, he used us, our Love Fellowship, to make a difference down at the community kitchen and over at the health fair at Brainerd High School and at NHC. God can use all of us to make a difference. Nothing is impossible with our God. Nothing is impossible without God. The disciples, when they started out, it was only 12 of them, and they, in the book of Acts, as we're going through the book of Acts on Wednesday night, they often said, look at those men who God is using to turn their world upside down. He took 12 men, Peter and those brothers, and turned the world upside down. Hey, check this out. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have email. They didn't have Snapchat. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have any of the stuff we have today. And he still turned the world upside down. Our God can do the impossible. So Mary, you know, she was a little doubtful, a little skeptical. So how did she respond? Here's how do you respond? How do I respond when we hear the truths of God? When we hear even a verse like this, that with God, nothing would be impossible. How do we respond? Mary shows us in verse 38, the text says, Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Mary said, let it be to me according to your word. I'm still a little confused. I know I'm a virgin. You say I'm going to be pregnant. I'm accepting your word. I'm accepting the word of God. Whatever you say, dear Lord, although it doesn't make sense, although I can't see it and understand it, let it be to me according to your word. So if you're taking notes, anybody don't say, she put her faith and trust in the Lord. Oftentimes we put our faith and trust in the circumstance of stuff that we see, but she put her faith and trust in the Lord. She said, let it be to me as your word has said, as your servant Gabriel, who, as I said before, spoke on the authority of God, said, let it be to me according to your word. You know, if you're dealing with a situation this morning, let the word of God deal with that situation. When God gives you a word, go with the word of God. Don't go with what others say if it's contradictory to the word. Don't go with even what your own feelings or heart might say. It's contradictory to the word of God. Be like Mary. Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Whatever the word of God says, hold on to that. I said, whatever the word of God says, hold on to that. Our God, our Christ, who is a unique Savior, he will bring his word to pass. He will bring it to fruition every time. Matthew 1:21, as I'm almost closing, says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Let me read that again. And she will bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, our unique Savior, and he will save his people from their sins. Early Merry Christmas. If you're in that number, if you're his people, he's going to save you from your sins. If you're not in that group, this morning you can be saved from your sins. This morning you can have hell canceled and heaven guaranteed. This morning by our unique Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because nothing is impossible with our God. So Christ is unique. He's so unique. Let me just end with this little analogy. He's so unique. I alluded to it earlier. He can be our lawyer as well as our judge. I've used this a time or two before, but it fits in good right here, talking about the uniqueness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's one of a kind. He's unparalleled. He has no beginning. He has no end. And he's born of a virgin. He's unique. He's unique. The story goes, a guy was in court and he was guilty. And he was in court and he had a defense attorney. He had a lawyer. And his defense attorney was representing his case and was doing a good job. And he kept, you know, speaking to the judge and the jurors, and finally had a recess. And so the lawyer left out. And so the guy who was guilty, who was on trial, who was guilty, was sitting down, and his lawyer hadn't come back yet. So he was getting a little nervous, getting a little fidgety, like, man, where's my lawyer? You know, he's a good lawyer. I need him here to defend me. And so he didn't come back. And so finally the judge said, well, it's time for you, the person who was guilty, to approach my bench. So the guy gets up and he's nervous because his lawyer is not there. And he's hopeless without his lawyer. And so as he approaches the judge's bench, and he's still baffled, like, where did my lawyer go? Why did my lawyer just leave me? Where is my lawyer? And as he approaches the judge's bench, he looks. And to much to his surprise, much to his dismay, he looks and sees that his judge is the same person as his lawyer. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. The same guy that was defending him in court, his defense lawyer, was actually his judge. So it is with us, the child of God. As we go through this life, our defense lawyer, Jesus Christ, he's also our judge. So that sounds like a fixed fight to me. That sounds like a fixed case to me. When you can go into court and you know your defense attorney is also your lawyer, also your judge, guess what? You're going to win that every time. You're going to win case dismissed, case acquitted, not guilty, declared righteous, declared justified. You're going to win that every time. Our Savior is so unique. He's not only our lawyer, our defense lawyer, but he's also our judge. Oh, you ought to praise his name this morning. You ought to praise him for being our lawyer, Brother Shivers, and also our judge. Stand with me this morning as we continue to celebrate our unique Savior. He's come to seek and to save those who are lost. He's come. Matthew 1:21 says he's come to save his people from their sins.